This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 33 for June 30th, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live on Ustream from the Average Guy Studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska. A sunny, a dry Bellevue, Nebraska. Very, very hot today. You can contact the show podcast at theaverageguy.tv. You can find us on Facebook by searching The Average Guy Network, or you can follow the show and our announcements on Twitter. Just follow me at Jay Collison. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about doing on Facebook, of course, we don't get a lot of comments on our show notes. And if you're interested, and Facebook is an easier platform for you to interface with us here at the show, go ahead and drop out and join the Average Guy Facebook group, and then we can use that to interact with folks out there. I think we've got 40 or 50 folks who've joined that. So go out to Facebook, search The Average Guy Podcast. All right, tonight we kind of have a special show for you. It's one that I thought about doing, and I think we've been thinking about doing it for 6 months or a year or something like that. I've always tried to get the gals, the wives of the guys of the podcast on, and tonight we have that. But first, let me introduce my pal and the guy from Melbourne, Australia, Andrew Morris. Andrew, how are you doing this evening?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Jim.
Good. It looks sunny there today for you.
It is. It's a very nice looking day outside. A few scattered clouds, and yeah, even the birds were singing before, so that's good.
Nice. It's a good day.
Lead into the weekend. It's always a good thing on a Friday.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm always jealous because we do this show Thursday night here in the U.S., Friday in Australia. You guys get to your weekend so much faster, it seems like. Now, I need to maybe call you on Sunday nights and taunt you a little bit more when it's still the weekend for us and you're on Monday already.
That's it. The flip side is we get to Monday a day before you guys do as well. So
you all do.
Downhill from there.
Well, good to have you out tonight. I want to take a second to introduce our wives. And we have no idea how this is going to go tonight. And I'm sure the gals are out there with fear and intrepidation as well. I'll start with my wife, Sarah. She's Mrs. Jim 70 in the chat when we do this live, and she kind of knows the guys at this point. She chats with them every week. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Michelle Morris is with us. That's Andrew's better half, and she also from the great land of Australia. And Michelle, I hope you're ready for this podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm ready.
Good. Hey, let's take a second to get to know you guys a little bit because folks don't. And Sarah, let me start with you. Tell us a little bit about, just a little bit, what you do, what kind of things keep you busy during the day, that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm a mom of five. Well, only four now because one moved out and got married. But, you know, they're growing up, so they're not as high maintenance as they used to be. They range from 12 years on up to 18, the ones that are home. And I work part-time for our church as the technical coordinator, so that consumes a lot of my time. I work alongside our worship leader. I handle all the sound and media for services and special youth events, things like that. So a lot of fun.
What kind of technology do you see most in your job there at the church?
Oh, man. We use a lot of computers. You know, we're using PCs, Windows 7. We have to use Office quite a bit. I use a media presentation software called Easy Worship, and that channels all of our media out to the projector and the sound. Video, photos, audio, you name it, it handles it. That's a huge piece of what I do. I handle the sound system both in the booth and on the stage. And we even do a little bit of live stream to our foyer. It just broadcasts out to some TVs, so I have to have a video camera running on the stage, and that, you know, routes through. So,
yeah, it's when you think of church, sometimes you don't think of technology. We do a lot of technology in our church, and keeping that stuff running is sometimes difficult. And keeping it running right.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like technology never wants to perform for you when you need it the most. And you and I have spent a lot of hours making that technology work, for sure.
Yes. And there's never a big enough budget for the technology that's needed.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things we did, you talked about Phil's wedding. One of the things we did for his wedding was we were able to live stream it just with a webcam in the back and put that on Ustream. And I think we had 9 or 10 folks who watched it live. And then I went back and looked the other day, and we had 54 people watch it on the recording. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, kind of fun.
I had no idea it would get those kind of numbers, but certainly a great thing to do. Not everybody could travel and make it, and the video quality wasn't the best. You know, we had a photographer do a wedding video, and we'll send that out to folks, and so they can get the real feel. But nothing like doing it live with a webcam. I mean, it was very cool. So. Well, good. Sarah, thanks for that update. Michelle, give us a quick little snippet on what you do.
I'm the general manager for a gymnastics club very close to where we live, which is great. It takes me about 11 minutes to get to work. It's
lovely. That's great.
We have around 1,400 children ranging from the age of 2 through to 62 who come and use the facilities, and yeah, so basically I run the day-to-day operations of the center and deal with children, parents, you name it.
Would that be like the equivalent to like a YMCA here in the United States, if you're familiar with that program?
Yes, YMCA do run quite a few of our gymnastics clubs.
Okay.
Here in Australia as well, but ours is a not-for-profit organization.
Oh, great.
So we're club-based and have a volunteer committee of management that I work with to run the day-to-day operations.
Sure. And how do you intersect with technology on a daily basis? Do you have a lot of interaction with it, or is it just email and stuff like that?
Oh, look, it's quite basic, and I've only been in this role for 2 years, and when I started, the office had next to nothing. Everyone had standalone PCs or their own laptops. There was no sharing of information. And over the last 2 years, we've slowly brought the club into the 21st century and gotten some equipment together. We've got Windows Home Server set up. But mainly it is your day-to-day emailing, storage of files, our membership, and managing that. And I still find that most of our staff are not technology savvy in such that whenever anything breaks down, come into my office, tell me that it's broken down and think that I can fix it, which is very rarely the case. And I normally need to call the Andrew Morris help desk to
nice.
Assist with solving problems.
Yeah, so there's a common thread there. So,
I was going to say, you don't know what that's like, do you, Jim?
No, not at all. So, Michelle, are you kind of the go-to IT person, or the ones they come to because you're the manager there? They feel like that's the last place they can go to get help, and then if you can't cover it, you give Andrew a call so he can help you through it. Is that kind of how it works?
Yes, I'm actually normally the first place and the last place. So if anything goes wrong with anything, they're straight into my office and letting me know as though I can wave a magic wand and
sure.
fix it instantly.
Right. You mean you can't?
Of course I can.
Yeah, and you know, it's even worse, I think, when you acquire some skills and they even depend on you more. Do you feel like in that role has your acumen level of IT then, or of technology, has it increased just by sheer necessity because you've had to get better at it because you're in that go-to role?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if you, for on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being nothing and 10 being, you know, you're an IT stud, 2 years ago, where did you start, and right now, where are you at from a learning level or from a knowledge level?
I would say that 2 years ago, I was probably at the point, maybe a 2 or 3, where I could fix very basic issues with my own computers, to now if anything goes down, if the server goes down, if someone can't PDF a document, if suddenly the wireless goes down, that normally I can fix those small things. It's normally when we have staff who download something that they shouldn't, and then it then flows on to say that something else then doesn't work, that I need to call in the great guns.
Okay. Okay. Andrew, how many tech support calls do you get a week?
I think when Michelle first started there, I was actually spending a fair few nights there. We put a home server in so that we started backing up the machines that they've that they've got in the place. I think we've supplied a couple of machines that were sitting under desks here as well. So we've increased their fleet of machines, and it's gone from probably maybe two or three nights a week to maybe one call a week. Usually, it's the same. Usually, it's the same person who's found a problem with that's recurred over the period of time. So, you know, you get around to the, you get around to fixing those ones and trying to re-educate.
Yeah, yeah, no, and I get, you know, I remember. Well, Sarah, let me ask you. So, let me ask you that same question: 1 to 10 acumen. You know, you've been in your job now a couple years, 2 years. Has it been two, or has it been is it three?
It'll be three this November.
That's crazy. So 3 years ago, your IT level versus maybe what it is now?
Wow. 3 years ago, maybe a four.
Okay.
I don't know. That's it's hard to judge.
I know
yourself.
It's I know it's arbitrary, but we'll compare those numbers just to themselves, yeah. Not against each other, so to speak. Yeah. But so for now, a four.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, wow, if you – I would have to consider all the technology I work with. Maybe I was more at a three if you consider all the different types of things I have to work with, and now maybe a seven.
Oh, really? Wow, that far.
You know, some things have jumped huge, some only a little. It just depends on what type of technology I'm working with. Sound-wise, I've probably doubled my knowledge in 3 years with sound systems and things like that. With computers, it just it's progressing every year, so more steady, not as big a jump. So.
Yeah, well, and that's a good. I think that's a good differentiator. You know, we one of the things on the Home Tech podcast that we try and do is it's not all about PCs or computers, although those kind of dominate the conversation because that's what we. I mean, we all are PC guys, kind of at heart. But you know, Sarah, in your role. Sound is as important, you know, sound and video and the projection of that and the playing of that, the technologies that surround those two, those live performance arts, I think is probably what we'd call them. The
yes.
technology around that is as important as any of the PC technology that we've put in. You know, we've spent time upgrading the PCs to Windows 7. We've put UPSs in. We've got a home server in there as well. That stuff's all important, but really at the end of the day, if our audio and video isn't up to snuff, that's what the people see.
Yeah.
Right.
Audio is probably the most important thing above video, because they'll forgive bad video. They'll forgive it not even being there. But if the sound is bad, that is the first thing we hear about.
Yeah.
Wow, sounds like your church is a lot more complex than the one that we go to occasionally. I reckon where we go, they've got a little portable amp and a microphone that they plug into it.
Yeah, well, it is the nature of, you know, we go to a pretty contemporary church and in the, like I said, the performance arts are very, very important. So a lot of video, a lot of audio, a lot of music, you know, all the music is live, electric guitars, drums, bass. It does add an enormous amount of complexity just to the production piece. In fact, I've even thought of starting, and this is kind of in the wings, right? Like I have enough podcasts to do, but we've thought of starting a church tech podcast that talks about all the technologies like the program around Easy Worship, like the music stuff, like the, you know, the all the stuff that goes on. It has to, I shouldn't say has to, but for modern churches, and that doesn't mean they're better or any worse, but for the modern church that's using all this electronic equipment, it gets a little complex. And so it is a very, very interesting setup and design and work. And so Sarah kind of manages that and makes that all come together. So Sarah, that there's been a good size jump for you. You know, I spend a lot of time with you working with the PCs, just a small little piece to get those right. So we work together on that. It sounds like Michelle and Andrew, you're kind of the de facto help desk for Michelle. And that's really key. I think, you know, we talk on our show a lot about being the help desk. You know, we're always the help desk guys for our family, for the neighbors, for our friends, you know, anybody who doesn't have access to IT at work that has questions about their computer. So that's okay. I mean, I think sometimes we complain about it, but we like it. Michelle, we'll do a little bit of the newlywed game here. How does Andrew respond to you when you call him for help calls now? Is he favorable? Is there a long pause after you ask the question? How does that work out for you guys, or how is that working out for you guys?
It works out fine for us. I mean, normally if I'm calling from work, it's usually at the point that I can't get it fixed and I really need help. And I think generally he understands that and usually logs straight into our home server and gets into somebody's computer and tries to fix it straight away. I think sometimes I find it frustrating when I'm trying to explain the problem and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's very frustrating to then try and find the words that he understands that what the issue is, because I will speak in, you know, very basic, this doesn't work terms, and Andrew will start sprouting technology words that I have no idea what he's talking about. He'll ask me to click on areas that I can't even find on the computer. And in the end, it just gets very frustrating.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say that he still fixes it in the end, because he does, which is great.
Right. Does Andrew, so you've got you set up a home server there to kind of, you've got those PCs plugged into it with remote access?
Yeah, so previously I was using remote access. I'm using TeamViewer a lot more now. So the machines that the organization owns all have TeamViewer on them. And then if it's one of the staff's individual laptops, then I'll get them to kick off a TeamViewer session and send me the session number and the password, and then I'll connect to it remotely. So they've got a little bit more control about when I jump on their machine.
Okay.
And that means I don't have to go through as many hoops to get the remote connection.
Did you have them install? Yeah, no, I get you. I it's so much easier to help somebody remotely when you can take over their screen, right? Because
and so you can look at it when they're doing the work as well. Because I think that's key. If you can't see what they're looking at, and you're sort of going, "Well, hey, I just logged in as me and I ran it as me and it worked,"
right?
Then it's sort of like
right, right.
I've learned that. I have learned probably quadruple about my presentation software, because they have the most amazing tech support department and they will remote into the computer whenever I need them to. And I can see everything they do. And then I know how to troubleshoot it the next time and fix problems so much better because I watch them do it.
I think from our perspective is that most of my staff are not computer savvy at all and have very limited software knowledge or even hardware knowledge, so that almost all of them, when Andrew just suggested to put this software on and be able to remote in, they've all immediately just trusted that you know, he's able to fix things if it goes wrong. And you know, most of them have put him on their Skype now so that they can Skype directly if they're still having problems, so
just not have to go through you at all, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
So a few of them have done that, and you know, it's more out of a trust thing that they know that they can't fix it.
Yeah, that's important. You know, I've got a handful of folks. You help them once, and you know, Andrew, right? You're hooked in. But once you've helped them do one thing once, you become their IT tech guy for life, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, talking to my mute button again. Yeah, absolutely. It's someone had to do it first today.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I think if you, as long as you don't leave people thinking that you're doing something behind their back or they don't know what you're doing, I think that's the key thing with any sort of support. You know, it's even like in the enterprise, you know, you pick up the phone, you say, you know, hey, I'm about to remote control your machine and can you please show me what you're doing? And that gives. It's just the way you approach it,
right?
As well, and yeah, you know, I mean, I don't mind. I mean, I've even got some of them now. If I can't actually remote control their machine at the time, they'll call me on Skype and then share out their desktop so and show me what they're doing, and I'll just type back, you know, try this, try that, try the other.
Yeah,
And that works well as well.
Which is another great tool, right, built into Skype now. So you don't even need to remote control it. Just show me what you're doing. I'll walk you through the clicks. Skype works very, very well for that, especially point to point. And you can just kind of share out the screen. So TeamViewer, we use LiveSync. I've installed LiveSync on all the church PCs. I have LiveSync installed on – so I have two separate accounts. I have a church account. I have our account. So all of our PCs have, you know, have the software installed locally here, and then we've got it on the church. So I've even taught Sarah now how to remote access into the church PC, so she doesn't have to drive out there. If she wants to do some work from home, she can just fire that PC up and work on it via, I guess, Live Mesh, right? Did I say that?
Live Mesh? You said Live Sync.
It's Live Mesh. It's Live Mesh now. Yeah. Microsoft changed the name a couple times. But
how good is it though, Sarah? I mean, the fact that you don't have to think about it anymore.
It's great. There are times it's a 20-minute drive for me to the church, and most of the other staff live, you know, minutes. Most of them live less than a mile from the church, and so it's really hard that I can't be at their disposal that easily. You know, now it's like if one of my volunteers, because I have volunteers that run sound and run the media, and if somebody's running late or, you know, they just can't get the media piece set up, I can remotely set it up for them, and it's awesome. And the other thing that's just revolutionized what we do as a church, our offices are not on the same site as our worship center. And so getting media from the offices where most of it's created over to the worship center, we were doing it on jump drives for so long. And now we have Dropbox, and it is a beautiful thing. And I can see it at home, and I can remotely take things out of Dropbox even and manipulate those on the PC. It's awesome.
I agree with that. Andrew downloaded it onto my PC here at home and at work, and I was doing the same thing. I was bringing documents home on a pen drive and putting it in my PC at home, then working on it, taking it back to work. So it's been a absolute marvel, really, to now just be able to put it in the Dropbox, be able to work from things at home if I need to, and then, you know, pick it back up at work the next day.
Isn't that great? Michelle, any security concerns in using a tool like Dropbox? We've talked about that on the show last week. We talked about a huge security hole in Dropbox. Do you ever feel like that you'd be worried about putting your data in the cloud? Have you thought through that?
I don't use it too much for anything that's of a sensitive nature.
Okay.
Mainly just documents that I'm working on or letters that I need to get finished. And so I normally will put it into the Dropbox, finish it at home, put it back, and then delete it out, because I did find that unless I went back in and then replaced my files in the home server at work, that I was having duplicate documents that weren't that were at different versions. And so I've sort of gotten into my own practice of taking it back to work, opening up, and then saving it back into the home, into the files at work, so that the most current version was actually on the server.
Okay. Yeah. Sarah, any concerns, security concerns from your standpoint on stuff you're putting out there?
No, it's church media. Who wants to bother with that? You know,
yeah.
It's PowerPoints and videos that, you know, Josh is creating that basically our announcements or a highlight video. It's not of a sensitive nature.
Sure.
And, sure. You know, like what we did here personally, Jim really helped us out last week. I was on my way to my tour. I was supposed to leave. The wedding photographer got all the photos done, and we needed to pick up the discs so that I could take them and show them to my parents. They don't have a computer. They don't have internet. So we had no other way of them getting to see these wedding photos. But as Jim was driving out to pick up the CDs, of course, we had that nasty storm that he had to outrun, and he didn't get the discs. And I had to leave town without them. But he got them the next day. He uploaded them to the PC and he put them in the Dropbox. And when I was at the hotel that night, my last chance for internet, I got them onto my laptop, and then I was able to show my parents the pictures from my laptop. So.
And your parents, literally, there's no connectivity at your parents' place, right?
No, no, they don't even have. They can't even get cable. They have to use DirecTV. It's like their only option.
Hard to believe there's places like that in the U.S., but yeah. there you go, her parents.
The neighbor across the street has internet, but I think he has to use his phone line because there's no cable provided where they live.
That sounds like living in Australia. We're on a phone line service.
Well, they live south of Cincinnati, and they're a little bit out in the country, and so they don't have that. They just don't have that service. So it really, for Sarah, for you, did you check the Dropbox in the morning to make sure the files had gotten there, and then you just trusted they were going to be there? Did you test it out before you left?
Oh yeah, I tested it. I've learned well to test before. Don't assume. Yeah, most of them were loaded when I went to bed that night, and then when I got up the next morning, I think I even turned off my Wi-Fi connection to make sure they were all coming through right off my hard drive. So, yep.
Cool. Yeah, that does work real well. Michelle, let me ask you this. What do you think is your most important piece of technology that you use on a daily basis? It can be anything in the home, car, phones, whatever. If I were to take this thing away from you, you would just really squawk at me for pulling the technology.
Unlike Andrew, I can actually live without technology. I can forget my phone and not worry about it all day. I can not turn my PC on and check the solar at, you know, five times during the day to see how many kilowatt hours we've gotten. I would probably say that my iPhone is probably my... I use it all the time. I've got apps on there for my running. I've got, some game apps. Yeah, I think I use that probably more. I use it to do Google searches now. And it does help me with just day-to-day things instead of having to be sitting in front of a computer.
Sure, because it quickly boots. You can quickly get to it. You get in and get out. You probably don't spend a lot of time just goofing off on your phone, do you? Is it very utilitarian for you? Do you only use it when you need it?
Yes. Okay. I don't, yeah. I mean, if I paint a picture of what Andrew does each day on various technology, you would just think he was a geek, really, because he's never away from it.
Yeah.
But, yes, I really just use it. If I need to call someone, I call. If I need to look something up, you know, I'll do a quick search. I do use it. I run three times a week, and I have some apps on there for, you know, running. I've got my music on there, so it's really my one-stop shop at the moment.
What do you use for your running, if I can ask? The program.
I have RunKeeper.
Okay.
Which that just generally tracks how far I go and how long it takes, and it does go into the satellite, so it looks at gradients. But I have another couple of apps. One's called Ease Into 10K, and it just talks you through getting up to running a 10K fun run.
Oh, very cool. So some coaching.
Yeah, it does some coaching, and it just has a program, has a 9-week program, which just works you up to running 10Ks. And you can put it on with your RunKeeper, and it puts your own music in the background, so you don't have to use some of the apps you've got where they've got techno music going while you're doing your running. And I don't like that. I'm an 80s, you know, 70s, 80s music. I've got my ABBA going.
Yeah,
and yeah, so this app actually lets you put your own playlists together, and that plays in the background while it talks you through, you know, walk sessions, run sessions, and it goes through, which is great. I love having the flexibility of being able to put my own music to run to.
Sure. And how long have you had the iPhone?
I've had that probably about a year and a half.
Okay, so you've had it for a while, and
yeah.
And would you are you looking forward to an upgrade for that phone, or are you pretty content with it as you have it right now?
I'm actually one of those people who you get something that you like and you know how to use, you stick with it.
Okay.
So I will probably stick with that until the battery goes so bad that it doesn't last very long between charges.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good place to be, you know. And you mentioned Andrew's geekness. You know, if you haven't figured out yet, Andrew and I are two peas in a pod, and we catch each other online at least twice a day at this point for some kind of Skype chat, either audio or video. And he and I are probably cut from the same cloth. So if you know, you know him, you probably know me, Sarah. You know, I think probably Sarah can relate a lot. If you were to talk about some, maybe that geekness, Sarah would say, "Yeah, that's probably Jim, right?" Most
oh,
of the
for
way.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, Sarah, what? Oh, I'm sorry, Michelle. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just about to say, I did hear Sarah say earlier that you were down in the dungeon, and I call our home office, if you can call it our home office, the cave, because yeah. Andrew disappears into the cave and I usually have to bully him to get out.
Yes.
And actually, you know, remind him that the sun is shining outside and yes. you do not need to sit in the cave all day.
Uh-huh.
And he will, uh-huh. given the chance, he will sit here all day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, we've had some talks. You know, I've done a lot over since November of last year, 2010. I started picking up podcasting, doing some of my own podcasts, and Sarah and I have actually kind of come up with some rules around when I can, when I can't podcast, because it could easily consume 7 days, you know, 7 days a week, and I have a job that I'm at a lot, and so I would come home and I would be on the computer podcasting and talking to podcasters and talking with hosts and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And so we actually kind of set some ground rules and said, okay, these days, Tuesdays and Fridays, are reserved, no podcast during those days. You got to stay away from the computer, that kind of stuff. So that's actually been helpful, because I'll get into it, and then I'll, you know, Sarah will be like, where were you for the last 3 weeks? You know, that's easy to do. Sarah, let me ask you, from a important piece of technology, what's the one thing that you find most important from technology?
Wow, that's like asking me which of my kids is most important.
Well, pick one.
Wow,
because I have a favorite kid. I'll just admit it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, we all know which one that is. Probably my laptop. You know, I think I can go without my phone, for even though I use it a lot. It's a very, very close second. Maybe when I upgrade my phone to Android, it will top the laptop.
You decided, but you're going to Android for sure?
Well, that or that Windows 7 phone. I need to go in and look at it, but I definitely got to get rid of the BlackBerry. It's just inadequate for me now. But yeah, I do the most on the laptop right now, because I have to do so much for work on it, email and, you know, remoting and things like that, planning center. I have to do all the scheduling for my volunteers. That's another piece of technology I work with. We use a database called Planning Center Online, and it manages all of our people and the scheduling. It manages the, you know, the service details. You know, where music is going and which music. It's a database for all the songs, the sheet music, the MP3 right. demos, all of that. So
it's really your most yeah. important piece of software. You know, when I bought you that laptop a couple years ago, I kind of forced it on you a little bit. I wanted you to have it. I don't think you used it a lot in the beginning. Now, you might have a different opinion. But I think as you've gotten more techno savvy with it, you continue to use it more and more and more. I mean, we never would have had this Android Windows phone discussion a couple years ago. You didn't really care. Like, just leave me alone. Just give me a phone that makes phone calls.
Yeah, phone calls and texting and my laptop. At that point, all I ever did was email and play games and maybe IM people.
Right.
But that was before I started the church job. Yeah. Now I'm to the point where, yeah, this laptop is almost inadequate because I'm doing so much. The screen's so small, and sometimes I do have to, like when I remote into the church computer, I go get on your computer because it's faster and I get a bigger screen.
Yeah, a much bigger screen from that standpoint.
And that's important on the remote control because it's so much smaller. And at the church, I have to look at two monitors because it's a dual monitor system. So it's easier to do when you have a very big monitor.
Right, right. Michelle, let me ask you this. And if you were to, you know, certainly there's something endearing about it. I mean, you married a geek. You knew he was a geek probably before you married him, right? You went in full disclosure, right? You knew what you were getting into. Is there any endearing quality for us geeks in that, or is that just a strike against us?
Well, I never thought I would marry a geek, honestly. It's and I probably didn't realize just how much until we moved in together and he set up the office here at our new house. And, you know, I've got one PC, one small monitor. I've got a 17-inch. It's not that big. And Andrew has two laptops, a PC, two monitors, and
he's probably got a home server buried somewhere, right?
The home server's on my side of the desk because it doesn't fit on Andrew's side. And then we have another four laptops. One of them is now tracking our solar. And we've got three other laptops that just sit in various spots of the house. And Andrew just picks them up to surf the net every now and then.
Yeah.
And like that plus the amount of boxes that are still out in our garage that haven't even been unpacked, that's got cabling and whatnot. That's what I didn't buy into. And when we moved here, he started bringing some boxes into the house, and I said, no.
Really? Shut them down,
They're in the garage until you go through them and throw some things out, and they're never to come in the house. And we've been here 2 years in October, and they're still sitting in the garage, and they've still been unopened.
Yeah, which means he probably doesn't need them. Now, he's not here to defend himself. He had to step away real quick for a call.
So I think the level of geekness, it's still climbing, because the first thing he wanted to do was buy me a new laptop, and he did buy me a new desktop. And so my old desktop is actually still sitting here. So we do appear to accumulate things.
Yeah, it's easy to do, right? It's easy to do.
Yeah. And I'm a believer of if you're not using it anymore, get rid of it.
Amen.
So you're not a cluttery person, right? There's not a lot of stuff in your life that kind of clutters it up. If you like it, you're using it. You'll use it till it's dust.
Yep.
Right? And then you just don't keep a lot of extra stuff around. He seems to be maybe a little more of a collector of, because I might need this PC, I might need these parts, I'm gonna wow, Sarah. These guys sound kind of like us.
Totally,
right?
Totally.
Sarah, give me give the listeners kind of give your them you know the recap that that Michelle just gave about Andrew. Give that on me. I'll try and bear this. Go.
Yeah. Well, neither of us knew Jim was a geek when we got married. He was, you know, a generator mechanic in the Army, but. Oh, somewhere along about, I don't know, mid-90s, he got his first PC, and it was Windows 3.1 was the OS, and he started to quickly figure out that he liked computers and using them and working with them, and then by 98, he was working for a computer store, and that's when the geek really started coming out, and he started learning how to work on them. And we had this little laundry room off the kitchen, and it was basically just a closet without a door for the washer and dryer. And it just seemed like every week there were computer guts all over the top of my washer and dryer. And I told him, I said, I'm tired of seeing computer guts. Can you move this downstairs somewhere? It's like, I got to do the laundry.
So you pushed me into the cave. Let's just state that for the record.
I did, but we were in this tiny house. There was no room on the main floor. It was like 900 square feet, you know. So, and we built him an office in the basement. but yeah, and then he went to work for one of the local banks here as an IT guy, and it just grew from there. He moved from IT to database, and then, you know, and then eventually into management.
Now, I've got to tell you, though, Sarah, you've been pretty patient with me because I have strewn computer parts all over. You know, now I share, and everybody knows, anybody who's talked to me on Skype knows that my office is in the laundry room down here in the basement. I share one side of it, and she has the other with the laundry room, and so we have laundry baskets and clothes are hanging, and I get made fun of quite a bit for that. But I always have parts or something strewn about in the laundry room, and you've been pretty patient with me on that. I mean, I'm not sure once you've ever said to me, that's enough, you've got to clean that mess up. Now, I know in the last couple years, Andrew, she did tell on you about the parts of the computers being in the garage, by the way, since you're back.
The garage isn't that bad. It's really just a few boxes of cables. So, we got rid of most of the carcasses. We got rid of in a garage sale.
Oh, that's good. She's shaking her head. No, I think she begs to differ. I think the problem, and this is Andrew, this is kind of what I'm getting at, was this difference of perception between us guys and these gals as to what is enough, right? I mean, what to us, I can have, I mean, I think at one point I had 8 or 9 PCs down here in the basement, all hooked up in some form or fashion, or all needing some parts. You know, I'm going to need this for some reason. And Sarah, I mean, you remember that was just maybe a year or a half ago.
Oh, yeah. Right?
The basement was loaded. I've since gone on a rampage to kind of clean house. I've thrown a lot of stuff away. I've given, you know, Best Buy here in the U.S. takes that stuff for recycle. So I've made half a dozen trips to Best Buy to get stuff recycled. And I'm really down to, I don't know, 3. Maybe 4 PCs in my area. So, Michelle, sorry, that's just kind of part of our geekness of having multiple PCs, available to us. It's kind of what we do. But Sarah, you've been very patient with me in that regard, kind of being able to put up with that. So, Michelle, I was going to ask you guys a question, which is, what's your technology nemesis? I mean, what's kind of I started this discussion with, are there any endearing qualities of what we're doing? And I guess you guys didn't answer that, so we'll hold on to that one for a second. But it sounds like for you, just having kind of peace and order in the house with the parts and the components and stuff is pretty important to you.
I am a neat freak. Everything's clean. I hate things just laying around. And if I show you Andrew's side of the desk here, I'll demonstrate. This is.
Oh, I'm glad this isn't a live
screen. This is Andrew's side of the desk.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't seem that too bad to me.
There's two screens. You know. Yeah. This is Michelle's side of the desk.
Very nice and tidy. It looks
great.
Looks great.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the difference between Andrew and I.
Right. Yeah.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. So is there anything enduring about that? Do you, at some point, do you kind of go, aw, that's so cute?
No, I don't on that one.
Darn.
But every now and then I do a bit of a clean up and just put things in at least some orderly piles, which I normally get in trouble for, but it just packs a few things away, and I will put, you know, all cables in one box and, you know, all discs in another box. And yeah, whereas Andrew's take on it is, yes, I will need that at some stage. And so I'll just sit it on the back of my bookshelf until I can grab it off.
Yeah.
So I think, if you talk about annoying things, it's probably more, as you said, you know, setting some rules around you time and the time in the cave.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew will sit at the television at night and, you know, we might just be watching a show, nothing great, but he'll still be on Twitter and he'll still be checking Facebook messages and he'll still have the laptop going. So it almost defeats the purpose, except for the fact that we are in the one room.
Andrew, are you have Skype going at the same time usually?
Not really. I mean, I don't use my main laptop when we're sitting in front of the TV of a night time. I've got an old one that has just pretty much a web browser and a Twitter client. And, yeah, I try not to be too antisocial.
Are you just watching the Twitter stream when you're, just kind of see what's going on out there?
Yeah, I've sort of gone past, the phase of commenting on everything that goes past me in Twitter. It gets a bit boring. I think the royal wedding, I did a bit of live tweeting just to, you know, make people understand that I was actually watching it, and you know, even that was just, you know, voyeuristic, and rather than actually having to pay it real attention, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, Jim, I don't know if you do this, but everywhere we go, Andrew checks in.
Facebook. Now, Facebook everywhere. Or Google where Attitude or Foursquare? Okay, Foursquare.
Yeah. Checks in.
Yeah.
I mean, who needs to know that you're at IKEA?
Like, TMI.
You get points for that stuff.
I mean,
who do those points get you?
Nothing.
See?
Nothing.
It's waste of time.
It's. I maybe not everywhere, but I check in from time to time at places. And it really is, at least from my mind, it is this ability to let my friends know what I'm doing. And I don't know why that's important. I mean, I've thought about that a lot. What is it about your friends knowing what you're doing, right? The friends that follow you on
Facebook.
Mostly
I know what you're getting your hair cut by, Jim.
Well, I have checked in for my barber, who recently, now that I have a new daughter-in-law, she does hair. And so I've moved over to her, but, and I check in from the church, when I'm there. Usually we get there early and I've got a few minutes to burn. So I open the phone and, you know, go to Foursquare and check in. I am the mayor of our church. So and you know, Michelle, that's the other thing, right? There's this competition to see who's going to be the mayor of stuff. And one of the funny things is they checked in at Outback, which is our Australian, you can see the quotes maybe, our Australian restaurant, right? And so I checked in. I think Andrew commented something back. And so we had this little conversation about Outback and Australia. And then when we went out, I took a quick picture with Sarah and I in front of Outback. I dropped it in Dropbox so he could see it. And, you know, we were quickly. And I think that's the thing I've appreciated most about those social networking pieces, is that I can very quickly, you know, Andrew and I, who are, I think, you know, brothers from another mother in some cases, can very, very quickly communicate. He's on the other side of the world. And I can have this conversation with him about this pseudo Australian restaurant. We can make fun of it. I can snap a picture. It can all be done very, very quickly. You know, 20 years ago, you couldn't do that. 20 years ago, a phone call to Australia was $1 a minute. You know, so I guess I'm a little fascinated by the fact that I can have a friendship with Andrew, who lives, I don't know how far it is from Omaha, Nebraska to Melbourne, Australia. But
depends if you use Google Maps, because they'll probably tell us to swim at some point in time in the middle or paddle a kayak or something.
If you're going to do directions, get on a cruise ship. But I don't know. I've felt like the social networks have made – I've been able to – the friends that I don't see very often, I'm able to kind of keep up to date on what's going on, so that when I do meet with them the next time, you don't have to catch them up. You know? I don't know. I don't know. That's just my thought. Along that,
yeah,
Sarah,
it's definitely making the world a lot smaller too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We've talked before, and I've talked to Sarah about this. I mean, if I was going to take a vacation and it was going to be overseas, we'd come at this point. We'd probably come to Melbourne, Australia. I mean that is, you know, we know you guys there now. And so it's, for me, that's not, because I communicate with Andrew at least once a day, either via text or video. I feel like I know him pretty well, and that would be an option to swing by and say hi, right? we're in the neighborhood. So yeah, anyways, I don't know how I got down that path. Sarah, Nemesis, what's your technology nemesis? Or maybe what gets in the way sometimes for you?
Wow.
Is that because there's so many or?
No, not. We use so much technology, it's hard to name a nemesis. I think the piece of technology I struggle with the most is our whole entertainment system, our media, you know, recording and playback and Netflix and the challenges of that, because, you know, you use that media server piece when you do things like this, and then, you know, then we can't use Netflix, we can't stream anything, we can't watch anything recorded from that media server.
So let me lead into this question, because I think this is a good question to ask. So, you know, you say, so I'm using the media, and I've asked you guys during podcasting nights, you know, hey, give me an hour, which always turns into two, to get the podcast done, so that, because Netflix will consume an enormous amount of bandwidth, and if you guys are watching stuff off that PC, it will slow the podcast down, and we get Cylon voices on the podcast and stuff. And
That would be cool.
But, well, strangely enough, it's not. The guys give me a hard time about it. But what, from a purchasing standpoint, so Andrew and Michelle, let me ask you guys this. When you go to make a technology purchase, is that something that's done together, or Andrew, you just go buy whatever you want?
Well, Andrew, I'm going to answer this for Andrew, because Andrew will investigate things to the nth degree until he has found the product that meets every single criteria that he has set before we will go and buy it. And this is before we'll even go and look at something. So he'll get to the one that he wants, and then we'll go together, but we'll go and look at it. But at the end of the day, it's his, generally will be his purchase, because he's done so much research on it that it's gone beyond my view is that that looks good, it works, we'll buy it. And I'll probably qualify that by saying that when we first met, the first thing I had Andrew do was come and connect my surround sound to my television and VCR and DVD.
Did that working right?
Because it wasn't working, it wasn't all hooked up properly, and I was just unplugging one and plugging it into the next one if I wanted to watch a DVD or anything. Right. So, yes, I think that's probably
Andrew,
it in a nutshell.
Do you find yourself researching things so much, and then you get kind of buy off to buy it, and then you don't?
Yeah, occasionally I'll research something to the point that I decide it's not worth having it.
Yeah.
I guess to qualify, though, I mean, when you look at, say, buying an LCD TV, if you look at a TV that's got a, you know, lower price tag on it, but then when you start looking at the features, you know, if you watch a lot of sport and you buy something with a low refresh rate, then it's always going to look like you've got someone sort of jumping across the screen in, you know, staggered, you know, it's almost staggering across in a pixelated picture. So, you know, things like that. When we bought our TV, you know, it was a reasonable amount of money when we bought it. So, you know, we did do the research, and, you know, I work with a bunch of guys who are probably worse than me. So I tend to think I'm pretty conservative when it comes to research.
One of the things I find myself doing is, so I'll say, hey, Sarah, I'm thinking about buying this piece of tech, and maybe I'll have to, I want to talk her into it. So I'll get her convinced that, right, this is what I'm going to do. And then I go into the research phase. And then she'll ask me a couple weeks later, so did you buy that thing? And I'm like, well, not yet. And, you know, she'd be like, well, why? I'm like, I'm not so sure I need it. And then I will go online, and I'll have it all. And I don't know why I'm this way. I'll have it all ready to go, and all I got to do is click submit, and I'll say, I don't need it yet. And I'll close it. And
yeah, I did that too.
Sarah, does that make you pretty frustrated?
do. We go to the store. We go to Best Buy. He just needs something little, like a little voice recorder. And here's the funny thing. He needed a voice recorder the first time he went to CES. And we went to Best Buy and we looked at voice recorders. And they had voice recorders that ranged from $30 to $120. And he didn't buy any of them. We spent all this time looking over them and he didn't buy any of them. And he tried using, I think, computers and microphones and things like that at CES. And it went okay. And then this past Christmas, I ended up buying him a very expensive digital audio recorder for CES because he didn't buy it himself and he needed it. But then
the funny thing was he
tried to buy it for himself twice before Christmas came, and it was all I could do not to tell him that I had already bought it.
But it paid off, right? That indecisive, no, I'm going to wait. Because I told you, I remember this. I told you a couple times. I'm just going to go ahead and buy it. I need it. And then you're like, well, okay. And then you'd ask me, did you buy it? I'm like, no, I couldn't do it. And so I don't know.
But you could have had it so much sooner.
I know. So but that's my problem. Andrew and Michelle, do you guys, with major technology purchases, do you guys kind of agree in advance that you're going to, you know, so if you're going to, when he bought you your new workstation, you know, your PC, was that an agreed upon by the two of you, or did Andrew, did you just decide she's going to have it and you just went and bought it?
I just did it.
Okay.
I just did that one. Yeah. But then again, you know, ironically, Michelle's got an HP desktop, but I didn't buy it from HP because I got a better price through an auction house. But, yeah, I mean, I think something like that, any upgrade's an upgrade. And, you know, I know what Shell needed for that. So,
yeah,
you know, this machine's, you know, pretty nice machine. You know, we upgraded to a 19-inch widescreen monitor because I got one for a good price. And, you know, something like that, to go from 14 to 19 inches, I figure it's, you know, hey, look what I brought home for you. Not so much as, you know, this is something that's...
Well, whose idea was the solar panels?
Oh, yeah, that was the guys I work with.
And Michelle, how do you feel about the solar panels? I mean, you've mentioned that twice in him checking the kilowatt hours that. And you know what? I admit I'm a bad influence because I ask him every time I talk to him. So how much energy are you guys producing off the roof? But... Was that, how did you, when he approached you with that?
Well, I think I'll start by saying that Andrew has once again been researching this for over 12 months.
Okay.
And every week it was, oh, someone else has got this new plan and this is how much it's going to cost and this is how many watts we need to put on. And in the end, I just said, well, are we getting them or not? Oh, no. Well, I think we can get a better deal somewhere else. And so finally, when we got them, it was almost an anticlimax because they've all gone up. And talk about decisions. We decided that we were getting, 3.5 or something on the roof, or 2.5. And then for an extra $1,000, you could get a whole nother kilowatt. So unbeknownst to me, we got a whole nother kilowatt for the bargain
Andrew,
basement price.
did you just made that executive decision to go?
No, it wasn't another kilowatt, it was another panel.
Anyway, so I come home and he says, well, now we've got this, all these things, and we've got 4 kilowatts today. And I said, and this is how much it was. And I said, but that's not how much you told me it was. Oh, I just got another panel. Okay.
Yeah. How'd that go, Andrew?
Oh, fine. It was only another $500.
Well, so there is some, and I'm not trying to make it, you know, get you guys into an argument or anything. This isn't, you know, one of those trash shows that, you know, the reality shows we have here in the U.S. But everybody, I think this is one of those microcosms of how couples approach technology purchases. And sometimes there's a lot of agreement. I know some guys who's have to check everything through and have the approval from their wife, from their spouse to even just make the purchase. And it's always fascinating to me how that works as a couple. I think for a long time, Sarah, you and I think I've made a lot of decisions, haven't necessarily brought you in on those. There's times I've just said, I need another PC. I'm going to go out and get it, and I'll figure out how it fits in the budget. It helps that I do the budget, or I did the budget at that time. But has that been a conflict at times, or would you want to be more involved in the technology purchase?
No, on my side of things, I more talk Andrew out of buying things. It wasn't necessary for me to have a new desktop, but he bought me one anyway, and it's great. It's got a lot more storage on it. It's a lot quicker, which definitely meets my needs. So then he wanted to buy me a new laptop. Well, I very rarely use my laptop now. When I was traveling for work a lot, I used to use it all the time, but now I don't really use it so much. So I said, no, I don't need a laptop. And then he wanted to buy me an iPad. I said, well, if I don't need a laptop, why do I need an iPad? So I generally will use what I've got, and you know, like I said, probably till it dies or it gets too slow and I really need to replace it. So that's probably more where the decisions come from here, in that I will probably say I really don't need it.
Okay. All right. That's good. Sarah, I'm sorry, Michelle, you finished there?
No, that's all right.
Okay.
No, I was just saying, but that said, I love my Skype.
You say that again?
I love Skype. I love the camera. I like having, you know, being able to chat to my brother lives in Singapore. He was in South Africa. My sister's in Queensland. My parents are in New South Wales. So we're all over the place. So it's good I like having the camera and the Skype and everything set up so that I can talk to people.
Yeah, that has been a game changer in a lot of ways, at least for me. I've been on Skype since, maybe the very beginning. And I used to tell people, hey, there's this video chat thing. And people go, I don't want to do video chat. And it took Skype a long time to get traction in this mainstream group of people. That just seemed odd for people to be on camera. Maybe it's still odd for some to do that. But it's getting more and more acceptance, especially, Michelle, as you talk about, you know, having family in other countries. It's a very, very inexpensive and a great way to do conversations. Now, the way it probably shouldn't be used is Sarah and I, she's upstairs and I'm downstairs, and we Skype to each other. That's probably not great.
I am, but we don't video.
We have. I've called you a time or two and sent video your way, and we don't do it on a regular basis. But Sarah, let me ask you from a purchasing standpoint. You know, I kind of admitted I do some purchases. I buy some stuff. Does that bother you when I do that? Is that something you'd like to be more involved in from a purchasing standpoint?
You know, typically, unless you're just being stupid and buying something we can't afford or you can't figure out how to pay for. If it's technology I'm not going to use, I don't need a say in it. If it's technology I'm going to use, then yeah. And you've kind of figured that out, I think, that if I'm going to use it, you usually, recently you ask me and you usually pull me in. You know, we bought the sound system for the TV room, things like that. Yeah, I wouldn't want you going out and picking out my new laptop for me, but
even though I bought the last laptop for you.
Yeah, but we sat down together and talked about, right.
Yeah.
You went through that with me about what I wanted, what was most important in it, and
okay.
Yeah.
I think it looks something like that. I don't, if I was going to buy Michelle a laptop, I wouldn't just go and buy a laptop. I'd always say, you know, like at the moment we were looking at getting one of those DM1Z netbooks, mm-hmm. like you've got, Jim.
Yeah.
And you know, I've said to Michelle, you know, if you want something that will fit in your handbag, then you know, go and have a look at stuff with the brand on it that I can get at a good price. And you know, if there's something that grabs your fancy, then grab the model number off it, and you know, I'll see, you know, and if you like it that much, then we'll go and buy it. But you know, if it's a small purchase like going and buying a hard disk or a memory key or something like that, then you know, I've got a degree of discretionary spend.
Yeah.
But if it's a big dollar purchase, we always talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're probably in the same boat with that. Yeah. If the hard drive goes bad, I'm gonna say I'm going out. I got to get another hard drive. I think one of the things I've appreciated in the last 3 years, Sarah, as you have gotten more tech savvy, you understand more of what I'm talking about and the need for it. You know, you don't, I just don't get that deer in the headlight look when I'm talking about technology. You actually like, oh, okay, well, yeah, well, that makes sense. What about this? Okay, that's good. And I just feel like you're able to grasp that a little bit better than maybe 3 to 5 to 7 years ago when, you know, you weren't as savvy as you are today. That's pretty helpful from my standpoint. You get that. You get the home server concept. You get the networking concept. You get Dropbox. You get Skype. You get those things. And it makes it, at least for me, it makes it a ton easier to move forward with new technology. Yeah.
Cool.
So let's see. One last question. And for the gal, since you only get a chance to be on the podcast at least once. Maybe we'll try and do this again after this. We'll have to see. Maybe you'll hate it. But Michelle, what was the worst technology decision that you've seen Andrew make?
Ooh, I don't think I've seen him make a bad technology decision.
Oh, well, that's good.
Good answer.
That's
good. He has a lot of gadgets here and I actually think, you know, talking about Skype and cameras and headpieces, that Andrew, for as much as he's got all these gadgets, he does not have a camera or a headpiece.
Yeah. What's up with that, Andrew?
I know. He's got a birthday coming up.
Oh.
So.
Maybe. Yeah. And look, we've spoken about that too, Jim. And part of it is, you know, it's the researcher's remorse. You know, do you research something to the point that you can't make a decision?
Right. Yeah,
you know. So I think you know. Sometimes that's where it comes into play as well.
Because you and I have talked twice about your camera, at least twice. And you said to me, "Hey, I'm thinking about this camera. I've been looking at this one." You know,
you don't give me an opinion, Jim.
you talked me into the DM1Z. I mean, you were like, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And I thought, "Hey, I need a laptop for this group I'm in. You know, we need the equipment." We talked about it, and you talked me into that. So. So get that camera, man. Or no, wait, don't get that camera. You have a birthday. Sarah, what was the worst technology decision you've seen me make?
Oh, man.
I know what it is. You probably just don't remember it.
Maybe I don't.
So you want me to tattle on myself here on this one?
Yeah, go ahead and see if I agree.
Okay, so I put this home server in, and the whole idea was to back up files and never lose anything, and this was going to be great, and we'd always think. So Sarah spends all this time creating this for my oldest son's graduation, this PowerPoint video that has music and pictures, and I mean, a lot of time went into that. So we got through the graduation and, you know, we saw it and then she stored it and it was stored. And I don't remember all the details now, but it was stored on the home server or on her laptop or something.
My laptop.
I think it was on the laptop physically. And one weekend I decided something went wrong with the home server. And so I had to reload it. And somehow in the process, I screwed up both the home server and the laptop and lost that file.
Well, my laptop crashed.
Yeah,
and you went to back it up from the home server backup, and you hit the glitch with the server and got impatient. And
I did, and I was backup. A little bit of a panic, and I ended up erasing the files. And it was one of those kind of things. You know, you do all this stuff. You know, I had convinced Sarah the reason I do this home server stuff is so that we never lose anything. And then I lost the file.
One of the most important things I had
ever,
on my laptop.
Ever. It was one of those files that. So I was in the doghouse for a little while. It took me some time to recover from that one, it was tough. It was a tough deal, and we got through it. I still play too much on the network at times, and I'm still not careful enough with some of that stuff. Because that's important. You know, Michelle, I assume you guys put pictures on the home server that you have there. So are you ever concerned that you're going to lose your data that's on the home server?
We don't actually put photos on the home server.
Oh, good.
The photos will be on the workstation, and the workstation gets backed up. So we do it that way.
Okay. All right. So
it's just easier to manage the folders that way.
Okay. And then do you keep some stuff online as well?
Not really. Michelle's mum uses Picasa.
Okay.
And exports, you know, smaller photos to the web, but we don't tend to put much online.
Okay.
A little bit goes on Facebook.
Yeah. Now you guys
that's about all.
you guys have some bandwidth caps there that are important for us to remember from an online perspective. Just moving all your video and files up to the cloud is not always the best. It's not always the best practice.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a pretty good cap now. We've got 200 gig a month, so we'd probably be okay if we did want to push some stuff up. We tend to download more content than we tend to upload anything.
Okay,
a lot of the TV shows we watch, we get them off the alternate download sites, so that we can, you know, be watching things like Hawaii Five-O the night after you guys have it aired and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, we there's a few TV shows here. We don't own a PVR or a Media Center PC yet, so you know, we're watching the current series of MasterChef out in Australia, so we download that if we miss it, and you know, watch it through the Xbox Media Center and things like that. So
very cool. Well, ladies, thanks for taking the time. We're at an hour here, and I won't torture you any longer, but I do want to say thanks for taking the time to be on the podcast and to talk with us geeks. After we're done with this, was this an experience? Was it kind of like you thought it was going to be? Was it different? Was it just a weird thing to do?
That's about what I expected,
fine. I guess. Oh, okay. Well, good. Good. Maybe this is something a regular once, maybe twice a year or something. We can have you guys on and catch up with you and see how technology is going. I think it's good for, you know, I think it's good sometimes for the guys to hear the gals' opinions. So I'd like to have you on just as much as I possibly could. But I know both of you guys don't want a podcast every week. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I appreciate you guys coming on. I want to remind folks listening, both live and those listening to the download, that they can contact the show podcast at theaverageguy.tv. We'd like some feedback from you on this episode tonight. And maybe, you know, maybe something struck a chord or you heard something and you want to make a comment. You can leave that at theaverageguy.tv under the awesome show notes that our Andrew Morris creates for us each week. And does a really nice job. Oh, Andrew, you've revolutionized the way. I mean, the show notes when I put them out there just sucked, and you've done a nice job of revolutionizing that. Michelle, thanks for letting Andrew podcast with me each week. He's become a really good friend over the last 7 months, and you know, everybody kind of jumps in. It's a big risk when you kind of do this kind of, you know, venture. He had no idea who I was, and I had no idea who he was, and we've become very good friends. So, Michelle, thank you for letting him do this each and every week. And, Sarah, thanks for letting me podcast the way I do. I get the question of, what does your wife say about all this? So what do you say about all this? Are you okay with it? Let's get it recorded. You're okay with my podcasting, right?
Yeah. I think the one that, you know, there's one that I struggle with the most, and you know what I'm talking about, because it just can't seem to find a regular place to land, and that's very frustrating, and you get a lot of pressure on that one. But yeah, I think, you know, we found a balance where it's not consuming you every night, and I don't have a problem with that, especially this show in particular. This, you know, this one is most tangible to me, so I really like being part of it and listening to it each week when I can.
And you do provide, you jump in the Ustream quite a bit and chat when you can with the guys listening to the show.
Yeah. No, I see the value in the podcast, and I know there's a lot of people that they help. So, just keeping the balance with family time helps. So. Yes.
Thanks for saying that right off the script. It sounded just like you believed it.
Right.
Well, guys, thanks a bunch. To remind folks again, we do this each and every Thursday night. You can join us at theaverageguy.tv/live. We're on about 7. The podcast usually gets going about 7:30 Central, and the audience grows each week, and we do like your input, podcast at theaverageguy.tv. All right, that's it for tonight. Thanks, guys, and we'll do this couples podcast again sometime, and we'll keep people posted. Everybody have a good evening, or if you're on the other side of the world, have a great afternoon. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Bye. Good night.
only my boss hadn't called halfway through. I reckon I missed getting slammed there at one stage.
Well, you'll have to go back and listen to the podcast and see what Michelle. No, she was very kind about.
I was about to say, I hope I didn't bag out on him being a geek too much.
Nah.
No, I was just looking for you to say yes. There's something. There's this endearing quality about his nerdness.
I said, no, there's nothing endearing.
Well, you know, it's a necessary evil that you just got to put up with, and we can hook up sound equipment, or we can hook up, entertainment centers and PCs like none other.
That's right.
I would never have got to date three if I hadn't hooked up that entertainment.
You know what's sad is when I was in high school, I dated a guy and he couldn't even hook up his own VCR. I had to do it for him. Embarrassed him right in front of his dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nice. Well, that's going to be the show title, Andrew. I never would have gotten to date three if I hadn't set up. That's the show title. I like it. So,